Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that New Beginnings is not just for the young? Amen. And I know I'm glad about it. I don't know about you. As we move forward, I'd like to thank you for tuning in the first Wednesday of a new year. Amen. Happy New Year to you, whether you're listening to this message right now or you go to the archives later on. If you would like to pull up this message or any messages that we have, you can go into our archives and you would go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. That's We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message here with a friend, amen, and be a blessing to someone, amen. If there's a time that we need to start blessing others, amen, it is now. So that is one of the, that is definitely one of my New Year resolutions, is making sure that I am more of a blessing to others, amen, as I move forward, or as we move forward. This is, again, New Beginnings Ministry, and we are on Blog Talk Radio. We are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., amen, 7 p.m. It's 1 hour Bible blog ministry, and telephone and share it with someone, amen, so they can come on and be blessed. We have speakers from a variety of areas, so you may come on and you will hear different speakers coming on to proclaim the gospel, to talk about the word of God, amen, through this ministry. We are an interactive Bible ministry as well. So what does that mean? That means you have an opportunity of calling in and you can participate, ask questions. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. When you call in, if you are talking and we can't hear you, just hit the number one on your device that you're using, and that will set up a question mark and let us know on this end that you have a question. Amen. But oftentimes we get together, it's like sitting around the table, the body of Christ. Amen. We being the body of Christ, sitting around the table and just feeding on the word of God. Amen. What better way to sit around and feed on the word of God? If you're talking about getting strength, if you're talking about challenges that you may be going through that you don't know how to handle, what better way than to use the word of God? That's what the Bible is. Amen. It's a roadmap of how we're to live our lives and overcome any obstacles that we come across. That is the good news. That is the good news. Amen. We're going to move forward, and as we move forward, I will be speaking this morning, and my title this morning, I'm coming from Genesis 21, 14 through 20. And I'm going to do this a little different this evening. I'm going to change up a little bit as I communicate with you through this message. But I just like to try something a little different, amen, more interactive as we go through the end of the message. Amen. The title this evening is The God Who Sees You. The God Who Sees You. And the message is coming from Genesis 21, 14 through 20. I'm going to start off reading from Genesis 1 through 20. Amen. But we're going to focus on 14 through 20. And the reason of going from the first of 21, the first verse of 21, is because I don't know if you are familiar with Genesis 21, so I just want to go and read it so that you have a greater understanding of where we're going and what we're trying to get to. Amen. And as we read the word of God, it reads as such, and the Lord, Genesis 21, 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham's son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah should have given children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, in which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the things which was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said to thee, hearken unto her voice. For Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now, as we go into, as we read into 14, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And these are the verses we're focusing on. He rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. And the child sent away. And she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, and as if were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Amen. And that is the reading of the word of the Lord. And as we move into the scripture, starting at 14, and as we moved on to there, what happened was, Hagar had a child by Abraham. Sarah could not have any more children, so Hagar was chosen to have a child. And as the child began to grow older and they would play together, Sarah happened to see both of them playing. And what she saw, she didn't like. She saw both children playing, and Ishmael were playing, and he was making a mockery of her son, and she didn't like that. So what she did was she went to Abraham, and she wanted Hagar cast out into the wilderness. Now, when we go into this and teach in 14, these are the teaching moments of it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and what he did was he took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, when we look at the scripture, it says, sent her away is a Hebrew term. It is called shalah. And what it means during that time, when you send someone away, it's used for a divorce. When you use that term in Hebrew, it's used as a divorce, as well as an emancipation of slaves. Now, I want you to understand that if the child remained there, he would have been an heir. He would have been an heir of Abraham. And he will receive Abraham's inheritance. So by sending Hagar and her son away, that created a what's called a divorce. Now, the only way that when you have a child, the only way that you can remove the inheritance of that child is if there is a divorce or you send them away. It's an emancipation. You're giving them their freedom. And once you do that, it automatically, it does not give them the right to the inheritance anymore. Now, had he stayed there, he would have had the right the same as Ishmael. He would have had the same right. But because he was sent away, he did not receive the inheritance. Now, I want you to understand that Abraham was, because of who Abraham was to God, and God would speak to Abraham through voices, and because both children were his heirs, God recognized them alike. Let's move on. I don't want to go into a rabbit trail and start talking. So that was 14. It said, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on the shoulder, and the child was sent away, and she parted and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Anyone would think that when he was given that bread and bottle of water, please understand that he wasn't being cruel. He gave her enough to get to where she needed to go on her journey. But unfortunately, as she was going on her journey, she got lost. And because she got lost, it required more water and more bread, in which we will find that ran out. As it goes on, and it says in 15, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Now, when the water was gone, as I said, had she not gotten lost, had she not lost her way, her original supplies that Abraham had given her would have been adequate. That would have been enough for her to survive the journey. But because she got lost, it required more bread and more water. So therefore, they came into a situation where they were pretty much out of water. And so as we move on into this, into the dialogue of what's happening here, and in Genesis 21:16 it says, and the water was spent, meaning that it was all gone, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And it goes on to 16, it says, and she went and sat down against him a good way off. In other words, she wasn't sitting right next to him. She was sitting a little ways off, as if it were a bow shot, for she said. And I like the way the terminology is used when it says bow shot, which we will get into later. That's a term used during that time where it originated from archery. It originated from archery. So I like the language and the way how the transition in, and they use the language of bow shot. But anyhow, at 16 it says, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. And she said, "Let me not see the death of my child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept, meaning she just cried because they were out of water. And she knew that without water, they could not survive. They were out because she got lost. They weren't going to survive. So she did not want to see her son suffer and die. So that's why she moved away from him. They must have, during that time, they must have been extremely thirsty to the point where they couldn't go any further. They must have been so exhausted and needed water and had no water that they couldn't go any further. So what happened was Hagar did not, she couldn't see any way out. She couldn't see any way out. She was suffering because she didn't have enough to supply her needs to continue on the journey. So that's why it says she went and sat down against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not see my death, the death of my child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now catch this. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." Now, I find it interesting where it says, now here it is that they were divorced. They were divorced. They were cast out from Abraham. But see, God had a plan already. He had a plan already. And if you go back and investigate it, you will read that God spoke to Abraham. He didn't want to let them leave because he grieved over that. And God said it was time to go because he saw the trouble that it was causing. And so God told him to let her go. But Abraham, I would think that Abraham, even though he was obedient, I would wonder, did he worry about them being able to make the journey? But anyhow, that's another story, another time. Another story, another time. And God heard the voice of the lad of the angel of God and called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thy, Hagar? Fear not. God has heard the voice of the lad." Now, please understand, he said God had heard the voice of the lad. Meaning that when God heard, he had the same right as Ishmael. God heard him. So meaning that God heard him cry out and came to his rescue. Sarah cried out. He didn't hear the voice of Sarah. He didn't hear the voice of Hagar. He heard the voice of her son. He heard the voice of her son, and he said, "Fear not." God heard, and in other words, he heeded. When we hear that God heard, he heard. He saw her where she was. He saw him where she was, and he heard the voice of the son. The phrase, this is meaning, it's almost the same as when we read in the Genesis where God heard the voice of Ishmael. He heard the voice of Ishmael. God called to Hagar in heaven, and both sons of Abraham are saved at a critical moment by the angelic voice from heaven. And God said to her, arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand. Now, when I see that, and I'm thinking that she was crying because they were near death, she didn't have any water. I'm assuming that there was no bread either. Those were the only two things that they had for their journey. And had she or not gotten lost, she would have had enough for her journey. But they ran out because she got lost. So when I see in here, it says, arise and lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him of him a great nation. Could you imagine when you're thirsty and when you're almost near death and you take a child and try to lift them up, the strength that's needed for you to raise that child up? When I read that, that's what I think about. The amount of strength to raise that child in the air. And he said, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him into thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Unlike Isaac, Ishmael is promised only a nationhood, or in terms, if you take that, if you look at that, that was a national territory. That was a territory. He gave him a territory, whereas he gave Isaac a nation. And God opened her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad as he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Remember we talked about the bow shot and how they used the language? How they used the language during that time? She was open her eyes and she was suddenly aware of the existence of a whale. And then you have the bow shot in terms of when it was all said and done, he became an archer. See, during the Ishmaelites, during that time, most of them were archers. That was a prominent thing during that time, that in terms of becoming an archer, that was that he became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness. So God saw her at that critical time and came to rescue her and her son. And as I looked at this and I tried to imagine myself in that situation, now it didn't have to be where I was any water, thirsty to the point of dying of thirst, didn't have bread or food to eat, where I was so hungry that I could have starved to death. But what I associated with that was suffering. Suffering. She was suffering. She didn't see any way out. She couldn't even look at her son. She couldn't look at Ishmael. She didn't want to see him die. So all she could do was turn her head, raise her head to the sky and weep and cry out, God, in my dire need, help me in my suffering. Help me to make it through because I cannot see any way out. There's no way we're going to make it. And the only way that we're going to get through this is if you supply our needs. And when I thought about this, I thought in terms of what we go through in our lifetime of suffering. Suffering. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't see no way out? Have you ever been in a situation where you were suffering so much that all you could do was cry out, God, have mercy on me. Help me through this because I can't do it on my own. Have you ever been in a situation where the suffering was unbearable? Or even maybe having a child that you lost or was about ready to lose. And you just couldn't bear to even think about it. You just wanted to just cry out to God. God, here I am. Help me. Help me with my unbelief. Have you been to the situation where you just cried out for whatever the situation may be? It may have been, it could have been for someone else. Suffering. Suffering. The body of Christ, we being the body of Christ, we're going to suffer. We're going to be challenged emotionally, mentally, physically. We're going to be challenged by the world. We're going to have situations where we just don't know what to do. And as I said, as I was reading this, the God who sees you, the God who sees you in your suffering, the God who sees you in your challenges, the God who sees you when there's nothing but tears coming down your face because you can't see any way out. And as I said, I wanted to do something a little different this evening. And I wanted to bring this to you because I would like to hear, what does suffering look like to you? What did suffering look like to you? What is new hope to you? New hope. Situation that was dire and you made it through. Right now, I would like to use what's called a polarity approach. A polarity approach is when you contrast one with the other. In other words, there may be good, and the other polarity approaches evil. The polarity approach may be suffering. Is something, whatever is the opposite of that, is the polarity approach. How did you see it during that time? What did it look like to you? What did the new hope look like to you when you came out of it? Right now, I'm going to open up the mics. And as I said, this evening, I want to do something a little different. And as we spoke about Hagar and her being cast out, she felt that she was secure in her place, having a child by Abraham, safe and secure, but to be divorced as a slave, lost her inheritance because she was cast out. Everything changed in one moment. Safe. And then the other polarity approach is suffering. And dangerous situations, dangerous circumstances. She went from one to the other. Her head down, I can imagine that her head, she's raised, looking up to God and crying out. Couldn't look at her son. Could not look at him. I can imagine that when they ran out of water, ran out of food in the wilderness, there's no hope. You look around, there's nothing but wilderness. No sign of relief. I can imagine what she went through. So the mics are open at this time. And I would like to ask you.
I got
you.
Something to say.
Yes, sir. Yes. Come on.
It's me, cuz. To me, that story is like a faith and trust. Like, because she was like put away from her home to fend for herself and her son. So she had to trust that God would do what he does through through the whole thing until the end, and she did it. So that's what I see when I read that story. And you was talking about going through storms. I'm in a storm right now, and I just keep telling myself, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Everything's gonna be all right. So that's what I do, man. And it's actually pretty awesome. To trust him and know you trust him and you trust him without doubting, and he comes through. That's just so awesome to me. I'm done.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I am so happy to hear, you know, that you're not in your the wilderness. You're not in the wilderness, that you was able to come out of the wilderness. Or you say, are you still in the wilderness at this time?
I'm coming out, man. It's like you called me earlier and you prayed for me. And Bishop Storrs prayed for me earlier. And I don't know, man, I just trust that. And I feel 100% better right now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sam, for sharing, Sean. If someone else would like to
I would like to interject as well.
Yes.
Often all of us, and I'll speak for myself, feel like you're in the wilderness and for a variety of reasons. And sometimes we have this sense of, giving up, this is hopeless. But anyway, through our faith and hope, and following God's direction, you make it through, and you make it even better. You even find yourself in better standing than you ever anticipated. You know, you see people like this pandemic who are struggling, on the verge of losing their house, can't buy food. The cost of living has gotten so expensive. People can't buy food. It's out of the limit. Gasoline, all that kind of stuff. But just imagine having children and not being able to feed them, you know. And people live paycheck to paycheck, and they find that that one paycheck is the only thing that's keeping them together, and that paycheck is gone. And they lose that sense of balance, and you need God to give you that direction so you don't get lost and you maintain yourself. You're not a tumbleweed blowing in the wind. You're not anchored to the ground. And the issue of having faith, I was thinking as you were speaking of Hagar, she not only should have she should have had a guide, you know, so she didn't get lost. And I'm thinking to myself, she really did have a guide. That guide was God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize that we're not, things aren't as bad as we think they are, as long as we have faith and we follow through with that.
Mm-hmm.
The health, even health issues, you know, you have to really count your blessings and look for that light to lead you. And that light is God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else would like to share, you know, what does inner suffering look like? You know, what does inner suffering look like? You know, there are those that you just came on. We just finished with Genesis 21:14-20, talking about Hagar and her suffering, losing her son, and she could not bear it. She couldn't bear it, and she had to cry out to God. What does inner suffering mean? Inner suffering. What is a new hope to you? After you find suffering, what is a new hope to you? How do you feel once you come out of your suffering?
No.
The mics are open.
No. Hello, Clay. How you doing there?
I thought that was your pastor. How you doing?
I'm fine, man. I just came on, man. I realized what time it was. I ain't that long got off work, but I realized what time it was. Inner suffering. Wow, that's a tough one, you know. I was I'm about to I put it this way. One of my friends passed away last night, a friend of ours. And I know his family very well. And I know that his children, they're grown, they're adults, but yet and still there's going to be some suffering. And you talk about the inner suffering. What does inner suffering look like? And all I can think of is pain, you know. Inner suffering. People hurt so much nowadays, and with all the pandemics and the new variants and all this stuff coming out, I think of that as part of people's inner suffering. I mean, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm saying this right, but people who can't go anywhere or can't do anything, or people who have to watch their children die from illness, or be torn down in some kind of way. Let me give you a good example. Here in our state of Tennessee, on the local news, I seen an article where a state trooper had a young man pulled over on the side of the road, and he called for backup. And as he called for backup, his brother came to help him. And on his way there, his brother lost control of the car, the police car, and hit his other brother and the guy that he had pulled over, and killed the one guy on impact, and his brother died at the hospital. Now, tell me about inter suffering. You can only imagine what this man is going through right now. He was going to help and wind up hurting. So I really, and you kind of stomped me on this one because I really cannot describe inter suffering, nothing but pain. I mean, I've never felt that. As far as suffering from the inside, into suffering, I've never felt that. So I really can't describe that. I can give you illustrations and stuff like that, but it's tough. It's got to be tough. It's got to be tough on a person.
It is tough.
Even in those days of Hagar, it's got to be tough.
Amen. Amen. You know, and we have to look at, when we go through our suffering, we have to look at how we're going to come out, rather than focusing on the suffering, or whatever it is that we're dealing with at the time.
Yeah.
We need, how are we going to get out? You see, because the same God that brought us out of the suffering yesterday is the same God that can bring us out of the suffering today. And we cannot lose sight of God, but it becomes so easy when you are in pain, when you've lost siblings, not one, but both. When you've lost the sibling and the mom, which we just end up coming a funeral with. You know, when you begin to start to lose family, brothers in your family, family, those that are close to you. And that's when you begin to suffer from that loss, you have to know how to come out, how to get out of it. Yes, sir.
Let me just be a I'm not being a mean person or anything because I don't think I am, but I just want to pose a question and put a question out there for those who don't know this wonderful God that we worship, who don't know Jesus as a Savior. For those who don't know, you know, how do they do it? You know, how do they get through the inner suffering if they don't have a God to call on? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? They have a God to call on. Let me rephrase that. They have a God to call on, but they don't know him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Personal relationship.
And if they don't have that relationship with God, then how is it, you know, that these people, and that's one thing that bothers me sometimes. How can I, except for introducing them to the God that I serve, Christ that died for me, how is it that I comfort them in their suffering when they don't know or they don't believe in this God that we worship? It's just kind of hard, you know.
I think sometimes that's how some come to know Christ. You know, God can use anything bring, you know, people around. So, yeah, I think some people call on him anyway. I know when I was out there in the world and doing my little thing, something went wrong, man. I used to call on God all the time. Like, so that's how you get to know Christ, because you call on him enough times. You got to call on him enough times, and every time, because his mercy and his grace, he'd bring you through it or help you through it. Then that's going to make you wonder, what am I doing? Let me fix this.
Yeah. But I'm thinking about those who refuse. You know what I mean? I'm not being stubborn or anything like that. I understand what you're saying, my brother. But my concern is for people who refuse to know God.
Yeah, I feel you. That's pretty bad.
You know, it's kind of tough, and I think that that's what makes a pastor's job really hard, or a spiritual leader's job really hard, is to try to bring these people around and help them to get to know this God that we worship so much, you know, and the God that brought us through all of our trials, all of our troubles, and all of our pains, all of our suffering, all of our agonies and defeats and wins and all of that stuff. Anything that God has brought us through, you know, I don't know, I'm just thinking about some people, you know, and I'm trying to get some help here to help them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you help them with where they are? And the only thing that guide them to God. Lead them to God. Only thing that we can do is lead them to God. That the only God is the only one who can help us during our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And our purpose, our job is to lead them to Christ. And everything that we say to others, we're using words, but in actuality, that's what God is saying. When God speaks to us, he speaks two words of comfort. So as long as they understand that the God that speaks to us gives us comfort, he's the same God that can speak to them and give them
comfort. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's all we can do. God is constantly trying to lead each and every one on this earth, lead them to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And some are stronger than others. We can't expect to for them to receive that information or for God to reach it's not their time.
Right.
So they may have to go through experiences. But while they're going through those experiences, we have to continue to lead them to Christ. It's what we give, and it's what we is lead. It's almost like, you know, the problem, but one of the things I was going to say, there was a polarity approach that I was going with. The polarity approach, think about it. You know, suffering can look so many can have so many different faces.
Mm-hmm.
What if we have the right to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the right to vote. What about if we're standing, you're coming home from work, and you're standing on the line, and you're so tired that you can't even stand up?
Mm-hmm.
The approach, the other side of that is someone in coming giving you a seat so that you can sit down and rest.
Yeah.
So many different faces. But how do we come out of that? The person who was standing up who was so tired, they came out of it because someone came and helped them and gave them a chair to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
The person who was suffering internally, who was going through whatever, they heard a word from God. God spoke to them. God is the same God yesterday as he is today. He'll speak into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, let me say, I'm paraphrasing, if any one of you will open up the door and let me in, I'll come in and sup with you. And you
win me.
Amen.
And once God comes into your heart, there's a peace that he gives you, that he gives us, that we can't even speak about. We can't explain the peace that God gives us. We can't explain that God gives us. We can't explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Feel it for yourself.
Yeah.
Gotta feel it for yourself. Yeah.
The God who sees you, God sees you. God sees me.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my suffering. And you know, again, we are on this earth. But we're not of we're on this earth, but we're not of the world. God, listen, we're just here occupying our time. Occupying it. And what we have a job to do.
Yes.
And there's greater than telling someone about the Lord. Planting a seed. And once we plant that seed, we don't know when God is going to start watering it. He might send someone else down the road.
Yeah.
And they might say the exact same thing that you said.
That's true.
But that's how God is. There are so many that are suffering. We see them every day. We see the outside, but God sees the inside. And only God can operate on the end.
Yes.
Only God. All we can do is just lead them to Christ and not worry about what they think about us. Not worry about that. Let God handle that. As I said, the person that was standing there that was so tired, waiting to vote, and it was a person that wanted to give them a chair, bring them a chair, they could have easily said, well, if I bring them over a chair, they might think, you know, that they might think the wrong way of me. They might take it the wrong way. All kinds of thoughts go through our mind. We just do it. We just show it's an act of kindness, an act of love. That's all we can do, and let God do the rest.
Let God do the rest.
That's all we're doing is just leading others to Christ. May it be a better relationship Again, we don't know what anyone is going through, but that inner suffering, only God knows.
Yeah. Yeah, put me to where I am.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I look at this, Hagar, I could imagine. Hagar didn't know what to imagine. Have fun that you think that's going to die because of starvation or lack of water because you ran out in the wilderness. I'm talking about no way out. Talking about way out. But God saved. He saw her even in the wilderness. No matter where we are, God sees us. God sees you. God sees me. You could be in your own house in the wilderness. In the wilderness. So, but I hope and pray that that this word is a blessing to you. I was just, when I read it, and just saw, just how it was unfolding. And I always try to relate it to our everyday life. Even though this is a story that we're reading about, but God makes it so simple. The stories we read, in one way or another, we can relate to them.
Right.
We can relate. So this really spoke my spirit as I saw this. Safe 1 minute, and the next minute you're in the wilderness. Dangerous. Danger of almost losing your life. The only sure thing we have is Christ.
Christ.
The only sure thing we
have.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this new year that we are meeting and talking for the first time, the first Wednesday. I thank you for those, Lord, that are on, that are listening, and even though if they had nothing to say, Heavenly Father, but they're there. We see the numbers, and we know that they're there. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just giving them the heart and taking the time to want to be a part of this time together as we feed on your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless each and every one on this line. And the things they do, whatever they do, Father, that when they pour out, that you would pour into them everything that they pour out to others. As they are blessing others, Lord, pour into them everything that they pour out. And I pray, Lord, Father, that as we move forward, Heavenly Father, this year, this new year, we would know, Lord, that you are God who sees us wherever we are. Whatever we're going through, you are God who sees us. Even when we're sleeping, you are God who sees us. And we thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord,
for your word unto our feet and a light unto our path. What could we do without you, Father? So we just say thank you in our most humblest way. In Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And thank each and every one of you for, again, it was just, God just led me in a part. I think I'm going to start doing more, having more dialogue in terms of what it looks like where we are. Because we each have gone through some kind of journey.
Yeah, that was awesome. So I really enjoyed that, man. And plus, getting to break bread with all you longtime pastors, man, is just amazing. It's great.
Well, Sean, you are a blessing. He's a pastor. He's from out of West Virginia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's on West Virginia.
Nice to meet you, my brother.
You too.
Amen. And those of you else who are online, You know, we thank you so much. We didn't hear you, but we know that you're there. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, okay? But God loves you most. Until next time,
amen.
May God bless you. Happy New Year again.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I can be